You're listening to the Inside the Mix podcast with your host, Mark Matthews.
Hello and welcome to the Inside the Mix podcast. I'm Mark Matthews, your host, musician, producer, and mix and mastering engineer. You've come to the right place if you want to know more about your favorite synth music artists, music engineering and production, songwriting, and the music industry. I've been writing, producing, mixing, and mastering music for over 15 years, and I want to share what I've learned with you. Hey folks, and welcome back to the Inside the Mix podcast. In this episode, I'm very excited to welcome our guest today, Daniel Barton, aka Heartbeat Hero. So Heartbeat Hero is a Dutch synthwave artist that was raised in the United States. Plays tracks, trivia, and interviews over synthwave artists, other synthwave artists rather, on the monthly synthwave podcast Heartbeat Hero Radio, which we're going to dig into later. He's going to share with us his sort of musical background, Heartbeat Hero Radio and that podcast and show, and some production stories behind a selection of Heartbeat Hero music. So, Heartbeat Hero, thank you for joining me today. And how are you?
Mark, thank you for having me on your show. I am very well, and it's bloody hot over here. It's really hot in the... bloody is like what you say there, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's it, man. Yeah, it is so, so hot. So at the time of this being recorded, so what is it, the 14th of August today, we are in the middle of a heat wave over here, and I think you're in the same. So it was 35 degrees in the UK yesterday and the day before, and it is. We are not made for this weather. I don't know about you. I know you.
It's the same. It's the same over here. It was 34 degrees upstairs last night when I did the show, and it was really hot. And luckily, during the night, it started to cool down. I saw the temperature going down 1 degree, and just that 1 degree lowering of temperature was heavenly.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's so crazy that I was having this conversation, and this probably shows my ignorance with regards to the weather and degrees and Fahrenheit, but just that fluctuation of a few degree, and it renders you unable to do anything. It's ridiculous. I just sat there just sweating. I was working on some music a couple of days ago, and all I was moving was my hand and the mouse, and there was just beads of sweat just dripping down me. I'm sure the audience are loving this idea of that. But
I just hop in the shower, put some cold water on me, and then run back upstairs and just sit there wet. And I mean, the water really cools you down.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout. I'll just come back in. Just because the shower for the studio where I do the podcast is literally just over there, so I could just like nip out.
Perfect. You say I need to take a bathroom break, and then you come back all wet.
Yeah.
It went slightly wrong.
Yeah. Well, that's a picture that one, audience. Picture that one for you. I'm sure you've seen my face.
You know the scene from Ace Ventura?
Yeah.
Oh, in the shower.
Yeah, you know what? I've got a list of because I've been moving into like doing these meme stuff. I know you saw one with the Ace Ventura one, and that is on my list, that shower scene. I'm thinking, how can I associate that with music? And I'm fairly certain there's a way you could do it. And there we go. That is the exact one. So we'll do that. So, yeah, a big thank you for joining me on this today. I know we've been talking for a while, and I was on the radio show last October as well, which was great. And we're going to dig into the radio show. So the audience listening, if they haven't heard it, you can talk a bit about that. But what I'd like to cover first is just a bit of your background, really. So so you, as an individual, as an artist, as a musician, where did it all begin? What inspired you to be a musician? Where did it all start?
What inspired me to be... So I was already musically inclined, singing at a young age, singing at school. I was in the choir at school. I went to church when I lived in the States, so we sang every Sunday and Tuesday night. I don't go to church anymore, but there weren't good feelings associated with that. So always into the music, but really actually in 1994, I met a friend of mine and he had an Amiga 500 and he showed me how to create electronic music on that. They were like just chip tunes, really basic stuff, but that opened a whole new world for me. And from there, it just kept on evolving. So for many years, I've been now busy. And let's see, in 2010, I started posting to SoundCloud. So that's when I really started pushing the music out.
So it's 2010, because I was on your Spotify, and I saw on there that I think the first release on Spotify was 2018,
I'm correct. Yeah, in 2017, I got added to one of my tracks when I first started creating synthwave, got added to a top 10 list. And that's when I was getting traction through the synthwave community, and that's when it started growing.
I see. So you've been doing it for quite a while then, back to 2010. I mean, 12 years. Yeah, 12 years in the game. Fair play. So you mentioned there about the Amiga Sound Station. So that's how you sort of got into the electronic side of things. So with regards to actual existing music, was there an artist album or song that really sort of like inspired you?
Well, I wanted to be the Prodigy. The Prodigy was it for me at that time. I was watching their music videos on MTV. What happened to the music? And I had a house party with a friend when it was my birthday. We were playing Prodigy the whole night with all the lights and the smoke and just going insane and moving like everything's in slow motion because you had the flashing lights. Yeah, that's where it all started.
Amazing. Have you ever seen them live?
No. I wish I would have been able to see them live, but I never have, no.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to see them at Download.
Wow.
2009 or 2008. Oh, mate.
How far were you? How close were you?
I'm one of those. I stood at the back, mate. I'm too old to go near the front now. I stand at the sides or at the back.
So but how long was it ago? When was the date?
It was either 2008 or 2009.
Okay. You weren't that young yet, yeah.
No,
I was kind of in between.
Yeah. Those were my glorious days of Download Festival. I went for like a string of years in a row, and then that was it. Then, but yeah, I'm at gigs. I stand at the side and watch what they're doing. At the front, mate. I'll be there for a bit. Then
I went to Rammstein in July, I think, and we were like in the middle. And it was my first, I never go to these big concert things, but my friend convinced me, and it's great music. So we sat in the middle, and then I went to pee halfway through because I was waiting so long, and I just really couldn't hold it anymore. And once I went out to pee, I did not want to go back. So I also stood on the sidelines, I'll just watch it from here. I couldn't see anything from the middle either.
Rammstein, I bet that was a good gig. What's the live show like? The pyrotechnics and everything that goes with it.
Yeah, the pyro is amazing, amazing. You can feel the heat even from back. Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that many times. I've been to loads of gigs where at the front. I'm sort of like in the middle as you were, and then I go to the toilet and I look down. And I'm like, I don't really want to go back down there. I'm just going to stay at the back and then wait for my mates to come out.
We went to the middle first, and then I laid down and fell asleep actually for like an hour. But then people were like packing, so I had to stand up. Otherwise, they would stand on me probably.
Fell asleep before Rammstein came on? I suppose you were there.
Yeah,
early.
Because we were there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they started at 8:30. So
did they not have a support act? I'm assuming they didn't. If you were asleep,
yes, it was two female women playing wonderfully beautiful piano music. But I mean, that's just not cutting it before Rammstein. They were playing the covers of the tracks of Rammstein, but it was so soft and yeah, wasn't my
No, that's amazing. It's the Prodigy and Liam Howlett as well as a producer. It's fantastic. I haven't done it for ages, but I know he uses Ableton, or he did use Ableton. I like to go in and see how they like construct how he puts it all together. There's one song in particular, I can't remember what it is now. It might be Smack My Picture.
Where did you find that? Did you see it on YouTube? Or
yeah, it was on YouTube. I'll send you a link to it, actually.
Oh, definitely.
It's really, really good. How he took the sample. I think it's Smack My Bitch Up. He took the sample and how they put it all together. It's incredible.
I might have seen that one, actually.
Yeah, it's so good. I'll make a note now, so I'll send it.
Yeah, he is amazing. But also the energy that the other guys, just dancing-wise, because they had the Running Man they were doing back in the day, and I always tried to do that as well. We had these white suits that we made for the birthday party I had back then. It was amazing.
Great stuff. It's amazing. So that's great to hear that the Prodigy were an influence. Fantastic live act and fantastic producers as well. So if we move on now to like Heartbeat Hero.
I can't just talk to talk. I mean, I got the stuff, man, on CD. There you go.
CDs. Yeah. Fat of the Land. I think that was my favorite one. I'm sure Fat of the Land is a Prodigy album. Have you got that one?
No, I don't have it. That's the one with Smack My Bitch Up, I think. But this is the one that really started out. This was such a different sound and kind of the drum and bass sound that was really popular at the time. Just every track on this is amazing.
I've just realized there as well. Have you got Audio Technica headphones?
Yeah.
Are they the MTH50?
Marquis Brown, he does the tech stuff. He does all the phones and stuff. I think that's his channel's name. MB, something like that. And he said that these were the best headphones to, and really, really neutral. They didn't have too much bass or too much high end. It was just like really neutral.
Yeah, they're great, man. The exact same ones I'm wearing here. So there we go. Great minds think alike. I like that. Shout out to Audio Technica headphones there.
Definitely.
Yeah, man. So yeah, going back to the creation and sort of the start of Heartbeat Hero. My first one is the name. Where did the name come from?
So I had a few different names. I used to have Goober, because I also did a comic strip, and I kind of combined those. And then, so Goober was my first artist name. Then I went to Alien 7, just because it sounded more futuristic and stuff. But then I found out someone else had Alien 7, but written out in full words. So I thought up a new one, and I was thinking, well, Heartbeat sounded really cool, because you had the beat and the heart, the love for the music. And I'm really into the Avengers and all kinds of superheroes, so Hero, added slapping Hero to the back end of that just was perfect. And it was free. The domain name was free. A lot of the social media things were free for that, which is very important when you pick a name.
Yeah, definitely. And it's quite nice. It nicely transitions into the radio show name as well, which we'll come on to in a minute. So with regards to your music then, so you mentioned in 2010 that you sort of put out the music on SoundCloud. Did you have an initial goal for the music, or was it just like you're going to create music and see what happens?
So a friend of mine, I had my best friend, he introduced me to the Amiga, and another friend of mine, he had a little bit more money, so he was able to buy synthesizers and mixers and stuff like that. And I was really intrigued by that. I was thinking, like, how amazing would it be that when I'm retired, I'm going to be able to afford those synthesizers just make this music in my free time, and then hopefully one day perform in a small venue. And that was like my dream. I was noticing when I was doing the comic strip that the music I was putting out on SoundCloud was getting more traction than the comic strips I was putting online. And the comic strips was really stressing me out, because I was putting out once a week, and the music just kind of flowed out automatically. And at one point, after 5 years of doing the comics and also a webcomic show where I interviewed other comic artists, it was called The Webcomic Show, I just kind of burned out from doing that, and just said, I'm stopping with that and just focusing on the music. And that's where I put all my focus on.
So the comic there, what made you, when you say comic show, are you a cartoonist? Could you do the animations? Are you creating animations?
So animation, it was a comic. So it was just like a static, like a three panel comic. I have done some animations as well, but that takes up way too much time. And to promote the comic, I started the webcomic show, just like Heartbeat Hero Radio.
It makes sense. It's one of the strategies by kind of like Inside the Mix was born, really, because
exactly.
I like music, promote music. So yeah, it makes total sense.
And I like that you picked what you're interested in. We can go into that more. But if you want to start a podcast, make sure you do it what you're interested in, because if you don't have the love and the passion for it, it's not going to be able to continue on a long term basis.
100%, mate, 100%. Because there are going to be times where your enthusiasm fluctuates, and if you're not interested in it, and you're in one of those troughs where you haven't got that motivation, you're setting yourself up to fail, really. And this kind of segues nicely into the next part, which is tell our audience about Heartbeat Hero Radio. So just give a description of it, and then we'll dig into how it all runs and whatnot.
Yeah, so Heartbeat Hero Radio is a podcast, but also a live streaming show on Twitch, twitch.tv/HeartbeatHero. And it's once a month, because my schedule, I wanted a schedule where I had at least three weekends with my family, that I wasn't doing only this podcast and losing being in touch with my family and having the freedom of planning the podcast also on dates that are available for me. And let's see, I kind of lost track of thought there. So, I started 3 years ago. It was just at that moment an audio podcast. I was just planning on putting it on SoundCloud. Actually, me being 10 years on SoundCloud and finally achieving a certain threshold, they invited me. What was that? I can't remember what it was exactly, but oh no, that's something else. That's a repost. I'll talk more about that later, where you can actually publish tracks. So at one point, my SoundCloud was filled up. You have like a maximum amount of minutes you can put your music on. And once I reached that amount, I had to pay money to put my music on SoundCloud. But upgrading meant I could put a full podcast onto SoundCloud. And that gave me the opportunity to create the podcast as well. So it was kind of like slowly building up my music and then finally being able to, kind of putting down the money so I could continue my hobby. And it gave me a new opportunity to create the show. So I started out just having the audio show, streaming it through Twitch, getting so people could like, so I could get some feedback. Just the Twitch chat's really nice, so you can get feedback on the music, what people like, what people don't like. That was 3 years ago, and it's been growing ever since, and I love doing it. Was that a short answer?
No, that's brilliant. No, that's great. So for the audience, it is so it's a live event, isn't it? You can join in the chat. And what's really great about it is you're sort of not static sat there, are you? I've seen you live when you're doing it, and you're moving about, you're getting involved with the music and stuff, and it's quite a visual experience as well as an audio experience, which is great. And you also have individuals come onto the show, because I've been on there. I've been privileged to be on there on a Halloween show, and it was a quiz, which was good fun. So you kind of mix it up with the different content as well. So with regards to that, mix that up with content, do you think that's what keeps it fresh and interesting rather than just doing just music all the time?
Yes, definitely. And what I was noticing from the first times I was doing, I was getting burnt out after 2 hours of just playing music. So what I do now, this is the format. The first 30 minutes is me interacting with the chat, dancing to the music, and like picking some of the best tracks and putting it up front in the show. Then I have like a little break for myself. I do a half hour of a pre-recorded show just to give myself enough time to go downstairs, have a drink, walk around. Otherwise, I'm sitting for 3.5 hours in a chair, and that kills my back. And after that, I do like a half hour interview. And what I learned from the webcomic show was that the interviews of 2 hours long, they were boring me. It was just too long of this the same thing, and I really needed that. Ask a few questions, and then go to music. That really helped me in because I'm an introvert, so it takes a lot of energy out of me to be social. So that's why the show is perfect. So, and after the interview, we go straight to the trivia, which is about an hour. And we change it up a bit because we have 80s, 90s, zeros, and tens questions. We also have a pub quiz question. I'm constantly changing it up, making it better. And then I do another hour of music, and then we all chat backstage. So people that are in the chat can actually come and join in if they're not afraid to, because a lot of people are introverts and don't want to interact with other human beings.
Yeah. It takes a lot out of you, doesn't it? I've come to realize that. And it was a few months ago, I started diving in and thought, you know what, I'm just going to have to embrace it now and just put my face out there and then see what happens. Now I do like Instagram lives and stuff. And
Are you introverted as well, or are you kind of in between?
I think I'm kind of in between, you know.
In a group, are you like the main person that's telling the group everything to do, or are you like more laid back and...
I don't know. I'm probably nearer the top there, so maybe I'm less introverted. Yeah, probably. I've been in a band and playing live and standing at the front with a guitar and having people. Yeah, maybe that's played up. Yeah, probably the opposite
but
way.
But I see you do kind of relate to the introvert. Where's that coming from? Because I can't see it in your face.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's always, maybe it's a case of like, it's one of those ones where you put yourself out there. As a way of, I don't know, maybe it's...
As long as you're in control, I think, then you...
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is. I think there is an element of that, and I think that comes out in... This kind of relates quite well to this. So Google, this is a slight tangent, but they have, for whatever reason, suspended my account on Friday, and I don't know why. So this is my business account because it didn't meet their guidelines. And I emailed appealing it, but it's out of my control. And I find that extremely frustrating that there is nothing that I can do about that. So when these things happen, if that is linked to being an introvert, then I would say yes, certainly. When something is out of my control, or I don't know, a piece of software doesn't work or something along those lines, you know, something out of my control, I find that extremely frustrating and I want to find a way to fix it rather than just sit there.
So you are when you're in a group, you are kind of the head guy, but is that only with people that you know really well, or can that also be?
Yeah, that took a lot of work. So with regards to that, it's only now, I think if you would have spoken to me sort of like 10, 15 years ago, if I was in a group of people, I probably wouldn't have said a great deal. I would have let somebody else. And also, you know, in those situations where you go somewhere new, or you meet a new group of people, or I don't know, a new job or something, and it gets to that lunchtime or dinner time, and then people are sat at tables, and then you don't know anyone, and it's that, okay, I need to like join a group here, or I'm going to be sat on my own. Probably 10, 15 years ago, I would have probably just sat on my own. But now I think it's taken a lot out of me to do it, but I'm more inclined to go over and say, hey, do you mind if I take a seat with you guys, or where are you going for lunch? And it took a lot of work to get to that stage. So, and I think with the public speaking as well, I'm a trained teacher, so I'm used to talking in front of people. But that took a lot out of me. I remember in my teens, I'd be petrified of standing in front of someone and talking. Absolutely.
So what kind of curriculum do you teach?
Music.
Oh, cool.
I did. I don't anymore. I got out of the teaching games. It was it's great. It's very rewarding, but it's a lot of hard work. Very.
I watched one of your Instagram things, and I think it was you saying that sometimes you'll. Like it's like talking into a screen, like a bunch of blank faces.
It is exactly that. Like, because when I do the Instagram lives, I'm just talking. It's like I'm talking to myself. But a lot of the time, it's like that when you're teaching. They just kind of look at you like that because they've probably had another 4 hours worth of someone just talking at them, you know. But it's an interesting topic, isn't it? Being extrovert and introvert. Because I think depending on the situation, I probably fluctuate between the two, depending on where I'm at. I think with the podcast and music. And social media.
That's your passion, man. Yeah.
Yeah, it gives me, and I'm, because you're passionate about it, and I'm more inclined to just want to do it. Whereas if it's something I'm a bit unsure of, or my knowledge is a bit sketchy, I'll probably take a back seat. What about yourself in social situations? If you're in a group of people, do you find yourself the instigator or?
So I'm not good if there are a lot of alpha male figures, that's not going to work for me because I generally don't gel well with them. But I can connect with people really quickly because I've moved so much. So I'm really good at adapting to new situations.
Yes, I think that's a fantastic point because it probably much like that. So you mentioned there about moving. I was pretty much static in my hometown until about my mid-20s, and I moved to different cities and got to meet different people. And only having done that now, I'm more inclined to actually reach out and start talking to people that I don't know. So that definitely does help. What about with regards to like slight tangent now, we'll come back to the radio show in a minute, with regards to like the online synthwave community. Do you find that helps as well? Because people are extremely helpful, supportive and talkative. And I talk to a new person almost every other day about.
That's exactly what I wanted to add. People are really appreciative and kind, and not everybody in the scene, but generally speaking, most people are really kind, and we're all out to do the same thing, is create more awareness for our music. And it's just one big goal for us all.
Yeah. And the Heartbeat Hero radio show certainly helps you with regards to your music. So you mentioned off air that you've almost hit 500,000 streams on SoundCloud.
Yes, I'm 18,000 off. Should be hitting that number in November, and it's like a really big deal. I mean, 500,000, it's a great number.
In 3 years, that is good going.
No, but it's not 3 years. I've been posting since 2010, and I had zero views, and I was like ecstatic, over the wall happy if I got 100 views on one track. And it took me forever to get over that hump. And once I got over 1,000, I was really happy. And now it's 500,000. I mean, in between, it didn't even matter anymore.
Yeah. When you release on SoundCloud now, do you have like an average, do you have an expected number of streams that you would hit with a release?
Well, I definitely have disappointments.
I have that as well.
So let's just have, I'm going to have a quick look. An expected, if it hits 1,050 likes, then I put it on Spotify. So then I know it's just a good track. And so my latest track is doing actually really well. It has 97 or 79 likes and 1,000, over 1,000 views, and it's 15 days ago. So that one is doing really well. But I also have tracks like, let's see. What, the Breakfast Club, it only got 264, but back in the day I would have been really happy with that.
Yeah, I like that workflow that you put it on SoundCloud first, like an acid test before you put it onto Spotify.
Yeah,
but I never considered doing that. I think that's a good way to do it. I do put like demos and like rough masters on there and get and share that with people to get feedback, but I never actually considered sticking on SoundCloud first. Do you think though, with regard, I don't know how the SoundCloud algorithm works, do you think that is there potential that you could have a really good song, but because SoundCloud's algorithms not picked it up, do you think there's potential you could miss out on putting it on other platforms?
Yeah, that's where you bring out an album on Bandcamp and hope that people will pick up that one track that they haven't heard on SoundCloud because it wasn't in the right algorithm, or you put it on. I mean, you got to put it everywhere. You got to put it on Instagram, TikTok. You got to put it everywhere. Eventually, if you believe in it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's a time-consuming process. But it's interesting you mentioned there about put it on SoundCloud first, and content, because you put out a fair amount of content on social media, and it's quite a mixed variety as well. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but this is one of my bugbears with social media is a bit. So I put something out on YouTube, for example, and I might get a few hundred views, but I put something out, I put a post out yesterday, and it's just like a music meme, and it got about 800 views within the first hour, which is the frustrating part of it.
Well, that's all about the algorithm there.
It is, yeah. Do you find that happens a lot with your content? Is there particular content that you put out that is more engaging than others?
If it's a stupid Instagram video where I'm just dumb, it'll do better than all other stuff I put out. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
But it's helping. I mean, it's bringing in new viewers. It's bringing new people in that would normally never consider your content.
Yeah, and it's something that I've embraced these past couple of weeks. And I thought, because I've listened to podcasts and I've spoken to other engineers, and you look at what other people are doing, and I don't want to mirror what everyone else is doing, but I'm thinking, you know what? They're putting out this content that is, I don't know, 9-10 seconds, and it is pretty stupid stuff that they're doing. But they're getting this crazy engagement. I'm thinking, well, I'm just going to have to jump on this bandwagon and see if it works.
I mean, we're all human, and we just want to see human things from each other, because if we're only hearing the music, that's not, for me, it's not fun. And you just want to see the human side of somebody sometimes. It doesn't work for everybody, because some people just want to stay in the darkness, don't show their face. I mean, that's a whole different niche thing you can do. But I choose just to be out there and use my personality to try to get people in.
Yeah. Do you think it's incredibly hard then? Like if you're, I don't know about you, but if you're scrolling through social media, I try not to do it too much because I find it's a time suck. But if you see a video, I think it takes quite a lot for a music video. If it's just a video with music, for me to stop and listen to it, unless I know the individual and I know the artist and I'm connected to them.
We'll be right back.
Are you facing a common hurdle in your music journey? If mastering feels like an enigma, trust me, you're not alone. Whether you're an independent artist or a music producer, the struggle with unbalanced masters that just won't translate across various devices and environments is all too familiar. Ever found yourself puzzled, wondering, why don't my masters match my references? Perhaps you've delved into countless hours attempting the DIY route, only to find the end results unsatisfactory. Maybe you've experimented with numerous silver bullet plugins or even AI solutions, but the desired outcome still eludes you. Or maybe you're currently collaborating with an engineer and yearn for something fresh and different. That's precisely where I step in. At Synth Music Mastering, I'm offering a special opportunity, a one-time free test master available for a limited time. Picture elevating your music with my unwavering dedication to quality and a welcoming, personalized approach that you just don't get with a big mastering studio. What's even better? It's entirely free. All you need to do is submit a finished mix. It's a no-brainer, right? So seize the chance now to get your free test master. Simply click the link provided in the episode description or head over to synthmusicmastering.com.
Well, there's your first thing. You want to connect to them. So you make a few dumb videos, connect, and then you're connected. And then you hook them in with a track.
Yeah. For the audience, I'm throwing out my fishing rod there and you reel them in sort of thing. But it's tough, isn't it? I had this conversation with someone the other day about how just putting your face out there and just getting over it, and which is easy for me to say.
It's only tough if it depends on what you want from it. I mean, if you're having a good time doing it, then it's not tough because you're just having a good time. You don't have any expectations. You don't want to make $1 million. You're not. I think a lot of people want to be dependent on generating income from music so that they don't have to work anymore. And that's kind of the frustrating part, just the perspective on why you're doing it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I definitely agree. So what I'm aware of time because we haven't even got onto the music side of things yet. And we're half an hour in. I told you this would happen.
I have all day. I don't know if you have all day, though.
I do. But what's the temperature like where you are at the moment?
I'm sweating my balls off. I'm pretty good. Yeah, you want to take a break? We can take a break if you want.
No, we'll press on. Unless it gets too much, just let me know. We'll have a quick break.
I'm having a good time. I got my root beer here, so I'm good. I'll spritz myself another time. Here we go.
I did have one of those in here, but I got rid of it. It was for my pot plant that was in the corner.
Otherwise, we'll jump like Jim Carrey in the shower and cool off.
Yeah. Oh, I love the Jim Carrey references, man. Ace Ventura, what a film.
I have on my show, I say, now I'm forgetting it, of course. Alrighty then, let's get the show on the road. That is from Jim Carrey, the Alrighty Then.
Yeah. Out of the two, which one's your favorite? When Nature Calls or the first one?
The first one.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. When Nature Calls is all right, but the first one for me is stellar. Yeah, absolutely.
It was just so new for the time. And that second one, I think the storyline just wasn't as good on the second one.
Yeah. And I always remember the first one for the scene where he goes to visit his friend. New England Clam Chowder was the password. And he goes into a Cannibal Corpse concert and he's there and they're playing. I don't know if you remember that bit. And he's
the first one?
Yeah, that's in the first one. Yeah. He's at the Cannibal Corpse are playing on stage. Once again, I will send you the link to this.
So who is I don't know who Cannibal Corpse is.
My bad. They're basically they are a death metal band.
But they weren't playing death metal during that.
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah.
It was like really relaxing music when he was there, right?
I need to send you this link, and you'll see what I mean. I'll send it to you. But my last question before we move on to your music side of things is Heartbeat Hero Radio. So you mentioned earlier that it helps with regards to the promotion of your music. Can you tell us a bit more about that and the impact it's had on your music itself and the releases that you've put out?
Well, when I started at SoundCloud, to get people to listen to your track 100 times, the thing you got to do is find people that have the same amount of followers you have, the same type of music you have, music that you enjoy. So those three things are really key. And then ask them, after you've listened to their music and commented on their music with positive feedback, ask them if they'll listen to your track. Because if you listen to their music, you give them negative feedback, I can 100% tell you they're going to have negative feedback for you as well. And that's the way I kind of started building it up. And now, because of this show, it works for me. So I play other people's music. I contact them behind the scenes on Instagram or Twitter and tell them that I've played their track, because a lot of times I've asked them if I could play their track, and then they just forget about it. And then I ask them if they would please listen to the show. And then they listen to the show. They really enjoy it. And then they promote the show by reposting it. That just is accelerating the growth of it. Plus the fact I already was on SoundCloud for 10 years, so I'm pretty much in that algorithm. So every time I release a show, it gets put into the uploads. That's a three-day algorithm where they really promote your show. And if it gets in there, then the number always goes up above 800, I think, for me.
Oh, Yeah. How long SoundCloud? This is putting you on the spot. I don't know if you know, but how long has it been a platform? How long has it existed? Were you there? Yeah,
during I think 2005, 2003, something, but I never used it back then. It was too complicated. I'm like, oh, you got to comment on the specific spot and what? And I have to log it. And I'm like, oh, I don't want that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like that. Anything that, as soon as I, there are too many sort of like brick walls in place, I'm like, nah, this needs to be
until you start seeing the what can work for you, and then it starts out. And I had to, and you had to pay for it to be like a podcast. So that kept me off the podcast part as well.
Would you say then that SoundCloud is your most successful platform?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because on your Spotify, which we'll come onto music in a minute, I can see it. It's sort of, you've got the thousands of listens on various songs. But yeah, SoundCloud. And do you find with interaction with other people on SoundCloud, do you get a lot of that as well? I mean, it's quite, I mean, to be honest, I don't spend a great deal of time on there other than listening to other, when people send me links, et cetera, and listen to. But do you find much, do you get much interaction with other people? I'm assuming you do.
Oh, well, only people that I ask to promote. And I am following some people that repost a lot of synthwave, and they seem to keep on coming back to my channel and reposting my stuff. So in that sense, they are. But putting a comment down is like pretty much of a time commitment. People are pretty committed if they want to, if they comment on your tracks.
Let's take a quick break from this episode so that I can tell you about a free resource that I made for you. It's a PDF checklist that describes what you need to do to properly prepare a mix for mastering. So you've done the hard work and you love your mix. Yet suitably preparing a mix for mastering is often overlooked by musicians, resulting in delayed sessions, excessive back and forth conversation, and frustration on both parts. I want to help fix that. So if you want this free resource, just go to www.synthmusicmastering.com, as this checklist will help and guide you to make the mastering process as smooth, transparent, and exciting as possible. So again, the URL is www.synthmusicmastering.com for this free preparing a mix for mastering checklist. Let's get back to the episode. So before we move on to music, my final question then is, you mentioned about if you're going to start a radio show or podcast, you mentioned about being interested and passionate about what it is you are talking about. What other recommendations would you have for someone who's going to start out in this game of ours?
I made a whole list.
Here we go. Love this.
Here we go. So finding the time, make sure you have somewhat of a consistent schedule, even if it's only once a year. People love what they can trust, and they will become loyal if you do it that way. We talked about this already. Enjoy the process. If you don't have any fun, it turns into a job, and you just got to make sure you're enjoying what you're playing on the podcast, who you're interviewing, and just figure out what works for you. If you're finding the interviews boring like I did, just shorten them up and find people you're interested in. That really helps. Push through the technical difficulties, because the first show will always have errors. And make sure you don't put yourself down for making errors, because everybody makes mistakes. I make mistakes. Each show will have problems. You just got to push yourself and get better each time. And I mean, everybody gets better. That's what I'm really seeing on all the podcasts. I play people's tracks, but they're not promoting me. Sometimes I feel like, well, I'm playing all these people's tracks and they're not promoting me back. I mean, that's okay. The question is, did you like the track, and did you play it because of the promotion? Because if you didn't, just don't play that track anymore, or give them the benefit of a doubt that they're having a rough time in life and just don't have the time to repost it. Also, if nobody's submitting tracks, you can get on the Facebook group of the Synthwave Facebook group and just ask people to do a post ask people to submit for your show, and make sure you put it on all your social medias. If your show is not growing, then you are forgetting to market it. If you're not posting it on all social media platforms, no one will know about it. And then as the final one is, I don't want to market my show. Some people just don't want to do that. The reality is, if you don't market it, then nobody will know about it. And if you don't care about how many people listen to it, then just embrace that and do whatever you like. You got total freedom. I mean, that's also very amazing.
We'll be right back. If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
Yeah, fantastic. I like all those points. I think the marketing one's key there. Like, if it's the whole, like, if a tree falls in the woods, is anyone going to hear it, you know? Like, if you don't market it, how is anyone going to know that you exist? What is your market? I know you mentioned there about being on various different platforms. Is there one sort of, I'm assuming you mean social media, is there one platform in particular that you find most effective to reaching an audience?
So I have a whole thing about marketing your music.
Oh, here we go. This is brilliant. Rock on.
All right. So social media is the key. All the social media, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, Discord, SoundCloud, MixCloud. No rock should be unturned in promoting your music for free. So, and also start a podcast like this one. Just talk about what you love. Share the music with everyone you know, friends, family, people who follow you. Ask them to listen to your music and ignore the people that do not like your work. Only be interested in people that like your work. Have no expectations of anyone. You will not know who will like your work. If you feel one of your tracks is getting some traction, focus all your effort in promoting that one track. If you're on SoundCloud, ask other artists. We talked about this already, similar to you, if they would like to listen to your track. And the same goes for Twitter and Instagram post. Listen to the music, comment on it, make sure you like it, and don't tell them you hate it or give them negative feedback. Also, make a cool video. Use a bit of money to do ads. This will get some people who have never heard your work before to do it. Don't expect instant results, because these are tiny seeds that you're planting. And you might not be planting them in the right season. Learn what is the right season through trial and error. Now, go back to the people that you like your work and ignore the people who not. Stop trying to get approval from people who you look up to. Embrace your friends, whoever they are. And the most more important tip is be kind, because you never know what somebody's going through.
Yeah. Fantastic stuff. What I really like there is what you said there about planting seeds, right? So you're planting seeds, and I use this analogy all the time, and those seeds are going to grow as time progresses. But what I hadn't considered is the season, which I really liked what you said there. So you can plant a seed, but is it the correct season? Which I think is fantastic. Have you got an example? This is putting you on the spot here. An example?
No, that, of course. I've been strategizing about this for years. So December, never release anything in December. Everybody's on holiday. Everybody's buying their Christmas presents. Don't do December. And actually don't do June or July, because everybody's on vacation. August is also pretty dangerous. So start in September. April's a great month. Everybody's working, getting into the normal grooves. They have a lot of time to listen. You can just see on my SoundCloud charts, December's down. January, February starts going up. April's like a perfect point, and then it goes down again for the vacation period, and then starts up back up. You'll also see this in series that are on TV. They only do series around September, October, November, and then they stop the season, and it starts back up again around February, March, April. So it's like a global season that you can promote your stuff. The only thing is, if you're really small, you can use the seasons to your advantage, because big people post at the right time in season. But if you're small, you might get that little bit of traction when the big people aren't promoting their stuff.
Yeah, so you're sort of making, while they're away from the scene, you're sort of making...
So it depends on how big you are and what market you're in.
Yeah, no, I really like that. And those peaks and troughs that you mentioned there with regards to the seasons, and I notice it myself, because I do sort of mixing and mastering for people, and I know that the summer months are quite quiet, and leading up to the summer I was very busy, and it's tailed off a bit, and fingers crossed it picks up a bit after the summer. But no, I've noticed that myself. And another thing I want to dig into from what you've said there is about advertising. Now advertising is a tricky one, because I do a bit of advertising. Admittedly, at the moment the only advertising I do is retargeting on Facebook using the Facebook pixel. So it's very low cost. I suppose it's quite a difficult question to answer, but what advertising strategies have you used that have been successful?
So I'm not advertising anymore, because it takes a lot of time to do the advertising, because you actually need to market a track to different, let's say you have different markets, and you have to try out the best way to advertise is advertise to each market differently. So I don't know a good example, because I haven't been busy with advertising, but I have tried it. I just put it on like Facebook, and then I paid like I don't know, 20 years or something, and then just try to get people to my Bandcamp, just to get more people in. But I'm not really big into putting a lot of money in because I don't have a lot of money to put in. But I know it does work. Where I would probably put my money in now is YouTube Shorts. I would probably advertise on that because that's really growing, and they're putting the algorithm is giving a lot of people a lot of chances in that spectrum.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I've benefited from the YouTube algorithm with Shorts. It's very hit or miss. Sometimes I'll get like two or three views and then a load of dislikes. I get a lot of dislikes actually on YouTube. I don't really get that on other platforms.
Just ignore them.
Yeah.
Focus on the likes.
Oh, 100%. Somebody just commented on one of them the other day with what? Not even with a question mark at the end. And I was going to correct the grammar, but I thought, no, I'll just leave it. So I just responded with where.
Don't give them a time of day, man.
I know. I rose to it a bit.
They're just hooking you in, man.
I know. But going back to what you said about Shorts, I've experienced success with that. Like I mentioned
it's
earlier.
It's currently the best way to market your music.
Yeah. Like the post I put out yesterday, 800 views. I put one out the day before and it got 1,200 views. And it's 10 seconds. And it was the Ace Ventura one, you know, the one about the
people
playlist.
Know it. Yeah.
1,200 views. And I remember putting out a music video earlier in the year, and I don't think that video has got that many views. So Shorts, for the audience listening, definitely investigate. I know time is a precious commodity, but if you've got a bit of time, definitely have a look into Shorts because it's... And I've seen people, because I put a link in there to the podcast, and then people jumping over to and listening to the podcast. So, no, all really, really, really good stuff. What I want to dig into a bit more now is the actual music. So the music that you release. So you've recently released an album called Warped Metal. Being a metalhead myself, I was immediately drawn to this.
Do you have it yet? I'll hook you up with a link if you don't have it.
Oh, if you could. I've listened to it. But yeah, that'd be ace. Thank you very much. So can you tell our audience a bit about the album itself and what to expect from Warped Metal?
Okay, so let me just pull it up real quick. Because it was a bit of a spur of the moment. Like so if I go back a little bit, I've released 5 or 6 albums, I think, synthwave albums, and I used to just do one a year. So the first one I released was, I think, 10 tracks, and then the second one was 22. And I'm like, this is way too much. So I split up the next year with a lighter side synthwave and a darker synthwave. And I did that the year after that as well, but it felt like the dark synth wasn't getting enough traction on Bandcamp and on Spotify. So I kind of held off on releasing any dark tracks. And then I met this guy, Mark Delight, who has a Twitch podcast, who I interviewed yesterday. And he was like, you sent me 3 songs, but they're not on Bandcamp. So I'm like, okay, well, I could put those 3 on Bandcamp and have some remixes that I can put on. And this track didn't do too well, but it is dark synth. So all those tracks and some collaborations I got that were put in there. So there are also a lot of tracks that are on other albums, but they didn't get the time of day because they were like too far into the other albums. A lot of collaborations. We Are Magonia, I think you know, are a pretty big synthwave band. I did a remix
of
that.
Interviewed them on episode 4 of the podcast.
Oh, wow. They're French. They speak. Mm. Do they speak pretty good English? Or
Yeah. Frank and Louis. They're really, really good English. Their music is so good. It's so heavy.
Yes.
And it appeals to my metal side. I love it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So people might also wonder why I have a metal side, because I'd also do pretty light synthwave and dreamy and maybe even romantic. But my best friend is a metalhead. So he's always introducing me to new stuff. And that's why he makes me listen to metal and I make him listen to synthwave. And then we just kind of riff off of that. Yeah, exactly. So We Are Magonia, Hubrid, I don't know if you ever heard of him. He's also French, also a really cool artist. I did a remix for him, and I have 1, 2, 3 tracks with Embers. Larry, he was on the show yesterday as well. Larry Mill is a very talented artist, also vocalist, and we created some music which are more rock-oriented synthwave tracks, and it's kind of a combination between Muse and Depeche Mode.
Oh, wow. That sounds great.
Yeah. So the Embers stuff is really cool. Also, I have Remix Out, which I did... it's more dance synthwave, but also with the metal side. It's called Folding Space Around Me by Tidal Cannon. He created the track with Embers. And then I did a remix on that, and it's like really hard hitting. It's a second song on the track. You should definitely check that out. I put out a video on YouTube, which is exploding at the moment. It started out like with 2,000 views. That's like more views than I've ever had on any track. It does have the combination with Transformers, so it's a really popular IP that I used to make that popular. But just the track and the video fit so perfectly. I also collaborated with Ross, a.k.a. Sequenza. He's an Irishman from Spain. We do more on the electronic side. I feel that Ross has more of a grip of making a track that's more danceable. And I also do enjoy doing remixes for people that hardly have any followers, hoping to get them more exposure. I also feel that there's less pressure. If I create a remix for someone that's really big, then I feel more pressure than somebody that's really small, which I can help out more. And I created a remix for you, man. That was also a great opportunity, a wonderful voice, and I love the bass line that you put in that track. And I was expecting more from that track, actually. I mean, I love that track.
Yeah, I look at my stats, and it gets regular listens, and I love it. It's a great song. Somebody, I don't know if I ever sent you the link, but somebody created a music video for it. Did I ever send that to you?
Please do again. I think I can. That was Marito Gaia. He does a lot of videos for me. And it was the video clip was from one of the greatest love stories of all time, The Notebook.
Yep. That's it. No, I once again, I think it is. It's a very underplayed song, which is a shame.
And just one more thing on working together with people. I also have my best friend and kids are also featured in my music. The track Aliens in the Matrix, which is a really dark track, which is also on Warped Metal as well, available on Bandcamp. My best friend does the intro voice. My daughter did the voiceover of Newt. And my son screamed as the high-pitched scream that you can hear in it. So, lately, my wife helped me name my latest track, Never Stop Loving. So that's really cool.
Yeah, that's a great family effort on that one.
Yeah. I'm trying to get everybody involved.
Yeah, that's amazing. So Warped Metal, a lot of remixes. I'm going to come onto the remix side of things in a minute. But a quick question for you is obviously it's a heavier sound. When I listened to the first track, sort of like Gods of Fire, immediately I was thinking like symphonic metal. Sort of springs to mind.
That was inspired by the going to Rammstein.
Yeah.
Made a few nights after that.
I think I remember a post or something along those lines where you said that you were writing, or was a comment in the Synthwave family group where you were inspired to write off the back of that. And I can certainly hear it. With regards to your production of Synthwave and then doing, because there are metal guitars, so you've got heavily distorted guitars and you've got those drums. Were there any challenges you encountered? Is it something that's quite new to you, or is it something that you've been working on for a while with regards to like the metal production?
Well, I finally invested in a great plugin called, can you remember what the plugin is? Shredded, I think, Shreddage?
Not familiar with it.
Shreddage, and they have, I think, the Jupiter is the one plugin, because they have different guitars. They have the Stratus, they have the, I'm looking at Legacy, what they got, let's see what they got here. Details. This is really boring radio now. Looking for stuff, but it's really important because this, I mean, it feels real. I mean, to an extent. I mean, it's pretty tight, but I can't find it. It's one of the Shreddage plugins. So they have like a through Kontakt, you can load it up, and then I use that for and literally the rest of the stuff that I use for that track I already had. So
oh, amazing! Did you sort of like adapt it quite well? What about the mixing process? Because did you find it was quite easy to do, or was it quite challenging? Because it's a different sonic scape in a way.
Yeah, that's one problem I have. I just restart every time. I don't use like a fixed template, and that sometimes can, like, you can have different sonic sounds coming from each different track, and they're not like all on the same level. And it would be better to have everything on the same level, but I'm okay with that. I'm not nitpicky on things have to be perfect.
Yeah, yeah. And I think as creatives, if we were to that point, because you're quite prolific with your output of releasing music, I think it would...
Yeah, they told me to slow down in a few forms.
Oh, really? No.
Yeah, and I did. I literally did, because I've had a lot of stuff I haven't posted yet.
Really? I'm jealous.
So I'm like, okay, it's summer. I'll slow down.
Yeah. I think I was chatting to Zach Vortex. So his interview comes out on Tuesday. But he was saying that he's got releases every month now leading up until, I think, his next February, he said. And he's got it all in the bag, all ready to go. The episode is like a masterclass in marketing, because the guy he's bossing it on Bandcamp. He's absolute wizard on Bandcamp.
I have about 250 tracks on SoundCloud, so I'm banging them out.
Yeah, I didn't realize you had that many. Yeah, that's amazing.
There's some. You can hear the difference between the older tracks and the new ones.
Yeah. I'm gonna dive in and have a listen, and it'd be interesting to hear. So what I want to do is, just before we because I'm aware of time again, wrap things up. I just want to touch on the remix side of things. So you mentioned there about the We Are Magonia remix that you did, and you've done a remix for myself. You worked with Sequenza as well. Sequenza's done a remix for me, which was amazing, like the Italo Disco remix. How do you find it? Do you approach them? Do they approach you?
Sequenza, like, was helping me out. He was like, yeah, I'll make a remix for you. You helped me out so much with the webcomic show, I'll make a remix for you. And that's how that went down. And then it worked out, and it was a good result. So we continue making music. The same goes with Embers. I think I heard one of his tracks on SoundCloud. I just gave him a message like, I really like your track. I really love to do remix. Is it possible that you send me the stems? Sometimes people don't respond. I had a whole point about royalty splits. That was about the royalty splits. Do we still have time for that? Remixes and royalty splits.
That was going to be my next question, was the royalty split side.
Okay, so we'll get to that. Just hitting people up. And I do enjoy more hitting people up that have like a really low count, because I don't feel any pressure, and creatively that helps me way more.
What is the biggest challenge with remixing?
The biggest challenge is if the remix doesn't work, I just don't respond. It's kind of, I don't know, it doesn't feel right. But also, sometimes not responding to people, I find personally, if someone doesn't respond, I'd rather have that than they give me the bad news. So I can like always have hope. Well, maybe they just don't have the time anymore.
Yeah, it's like no news is good news in a way.
Yeah, I kind of feel that that's the best way to communicate that, or not communicate that.
Yeah, or lack of, yeah. So royalty splits then. So you mentioned, I know you mentioned this off air, and you wanted to have a quick chat about royalty splits. What is your process with regards to this then? How do you work the royalty splits out on a remix?
So for me, it's 50-50. It's if you add like one note to a track, for me it's 50-50, because that new track is something I would never have been able to create. So for me it's 50-50, but not everybody's that way. I have people that will not allow me to create a remix. I have people that say they want 100% ownership of that remix. Then I have people that agree with the 50%, and then with you, I've split it three ways. And then I have people that don't even want anything, because it's just too much of a hassle, because they have to give me their personal information and they just don't want to touch that part of the thing. But the split only became available for me for the last few years. Once you hit like, I think 100,000 views on SoundCloud, then you get an invite to be part of that process. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's still that way, but at that time, and it's just uploading the image. You upload the WAV file. You have a lot of different things. You know Shazam, where you press a button, and that's with the SoundCloud repost. They have that in there. I believe it also shows up on TikTok, and also, or not on TikTok, but on Instagram. So if you search for a music element, then you can add that to your TikTok post. Instagram. Man, so many things. And I do get if people don't let me make their music, and I also get if people want 100% of their work. I mean, if they're really big, they can probably do that, because I would just be glad enough to have that exposure. Yeah. So that's pretty much what the different things are that I encountered.
You mentioned that about SoundCloud. Do you use SoundCloud as like your aggregator then? Do you upload to SoundCloud and then SoundCloud distributes to the various music platforms? Do they offer that as a service? I think they...
Yes, they do, but it is a different... The repost is a different service. It's not... It can be connected to your SoundCloud, but that's an option.
Yeah, I mean, remixes is something I'd like to get more. It's a time commitment as well. It's one of those ones where I'd feel like I was doing someone a disservice if I said I could do it and then I was lacking the time. How, on average, with a remix, how long would you say it takes for you to complete a remix? Answer that one first. How long would it take for you to complete a remix?
One long night.
One long night. That's fair play, fair play. And my next question was going to be, have you ever started a remix, got so far through and thought, you know what, this isn't working? How do you approach that situation with the artist?
It just happens.
Do you message them and just say, you know what, I've given it a go?
No, because I have, and this is like, I have done 2 years over a remix. I remixed it 3 times and the third one was perfect. I just kept coming back to it. It kept pulling me back and eventually I hit it. So saying to someone, it's just not working. I mean, if they message me, how's it going? I will say, well, it just didn't work. I mean, if they like really want the feedback, then I'll give it to them. But I'm not going to do it. I don't know. It doesn't feel totally correct, but it's the way I would prefer to be. That's how I could try to communicate with people the way I like to be communicated to.
Yeah, I think it's a good life lesson, really, isn't it? It's like treat others how you like to be treated. And I think communication comes into that as well. And it goes back to what you said earlier about posting comments and stuff. Like, if you're positive, that will be then reciprocated. If you're negative, then yeah. And bad news travels, unfortunately, further than good news.
Exactly.
In a world that we live in, unfortunately. So what I'd like to do now is, I know there's probably a lot more that we could continue chatting about. So it'd be good to get you on again next year. What does the future hold for you as an artist and the radio show? What have we got coming up?
So for the radio show, let's just pull up the guest list. I know you're in it. Let's see. I actually have to look for it now. Let me go to my Google Docs and then say guest on the show. Oh, there we go. All right. And future guest. So in September, I'm hoping to have somebody on, but I haven't asked them if they've confirmed yet. So I cannot talk about that. Then we have a Halloween show in October. And then in November, I have you planned in. Now, I don't know the dates, so it's always the question if the person that I want to invite is able to come. So that could change last minute. And then in December, we always do a Christmas show with the Retro Crew. So that's Sin Street, Jefferson Rift, Hot Heels, and Joe Ozone. So, it's going to keep continuing. I want to do a ladies' night in January where I only have females on the show. And, I'm trying to get a Massive Berlin on the show. They couldn't make it in August, so hopefully next year. I have a lot of people planned for next year.
And what about music?
Music, I create at least 3 tracks a week, but there's also a lot of crap in there. So once something sounds good, I put it on SoundCloud. You just feel, this many years, you just feel if it's going to hit or not. And put it on SoundCloud. If it does more than 50 likes, then I'll put it on Spotify.
I like that idea. I might start trialing that myself. I'm going to give that a go and then trial it on there. I think somebody said that to me. This is a conversation I had on a podcast probably last year where they said they go for that work, very much similar to yours, whereby they write loads and loads of songs. And they sort of like, it's a way of filtering out the crap and then put it on like SoundCloud. And then if it does well, post it onto the platforms. And maybe I know
that Damocles, he has like a committee, a music committee. He sends his music to these specific people and they determine if it's going to be put on an album or not.
So I love that idea. A music committee. No, it's good. I send my tunes out to people for feedback, but I love the idea of a committee.
Yeah, well, the dangerous part is if you keep on sending your music to people that that you know, is that there's too much of an objectiveness playing into that. Because people on SoundCloud are a lot of times people that have never heard my music before.
Yeah, I suppose you've got that almost like positive bias, haven't you, if you're sending it to people that you know. As much as you want to critique, and there's still going to be an element of, I know this person, I don't want to be overly, not that you're going to be harsh.
But I mean, people that I know ask me what I think of their music, and I can't be truly honest.
Mm. Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? So where can our audience find you online? I know you mentioned all these social media platforms. I'm going to put all these links in the show notes, in the episode notes to this as well.
So the main thing I'm on is SoundCloud. So soundcloud.com/heartbeathero. That's also where the show is hosted, but the Heartbeat Hero Radio is hosted. You can find it on all podcast applications, so Spotify, iTunes, pretty much everywhere. And what I do is I have the Twitch show on. So twitch.tv/heartbeathero is where the show is live, and they're changing per 1 September 2022 that it's only going to be online for 7 days. It used to be 3 weeks, so it'll only be online for 7 days. I do download the show, but the audio version goes to SoundCloud a bit later. I do a bit editing on it because they're like yesterday something went wrong with the show, so I have to edit that out. And I'm mostly on Instagram, so if you hit me up on Instagram, but I'm everywhere, but Instagram, I'm there the most.
Fantastic stuff. I'll put those links in the show notes. So Daniel, Heartbeat Hero, huge thank you for joining me today. It's been really, really good chatting about the various different platforms, marketing and podcasts as well. Like I said, I've not had another podcast radio host on the show before, so it's really, really cool to have you on. So yeah, a huge thank you for joining me today. And for not having the fan on as well, because I know it is bloody hot. It is bloody hot.
I can't wait to turn it on and get in the shower.
Yeah, I'm sweating it. I'm jumping straight in the shower after this. So, a huge thanks, and I will speak to you soon.
Thanks for having me on, Mark.
Cheers, bud. Thank you for listening to our show. If you like what you're hearing, make sure to rate our show on Apple Podcasts. Whoa! Before you go, make sure to snag your free test master from Synth Music Mastering. Imagine enhancing your music with my steadfast dedication to quality and that personalized touch. And here's the kicker, it's absolutely free, no cost at all. Simply head over to synthmusicmastering.com or click the link in the episode description to claim your free test master.